All right, from the scripture, Luke 12, verse 13, out of the Amplified Bible, somebody from the crowd said to Jesus, "Master, order my brother to divide the inheritance and share it with me." But Jesus told him, "Man, who has appointed me a judge or an umpire or a divider over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Guard yourself and keep free from all covetousness." That means the immoderate desire for wealth, the greedy longing to have more. Protect yourself from that. Don't let that get into your heart. It's a very dangerous thing. Because this is the reason a man's life does not consist in and is not derived from possessing overflowing abundance. Life is not about stuff. Life is not about things. And things can be taken from you and you can lose them in a hurry. I can actually testify to the fact that during the early part of the 2000, 2003 to 2005, I became a multimillionaire in real estate, property, artwork, income. And by the year 2008, I was bankrupt. Gone. Thank God my hope was not in the finances, that my trust was in God. Amen? And I assure you that it doesn't make any difference whether you're a multimillionaire or whether you're broke. It's irrelevant. Because God is God, and the wealth was never my God. I was never dependent upon the wealth. I enjoyed it, of course, like the monkey said. I've been rich, I've been poor. Guess which one was better? Amen. We were just able to give more during that time. All right? But we thank God for that opportunity. But you know what? We're constantly wealthy in the Lord. Right. He meets all of our needs. Isn't that true? And a man's life does not consist in his possessions. The day I walked back home from the hospital when Jackie had the stroke, and I walked in alone, and she was lying dying, and I looked at the stuff that we had, and the stuff was meaningless. Had absolutely no value whatsoever. And recently when I had my heart attack, Jackie expressed the same feelings, that everything that you have in life is meaningless, becomes absolutely dust when someone that you love that closely is you're about to lose them, or you think you're going to lose them. Puts everything into perspective. And Jesus put everything in perspective for us right here, right now, in this verse. And he said, he wasn't saying you should not have wealth. What he was saying is that you shouldn't be covetous and you shouldn't be greedy. All right? So it's okay to have wealth as long as wealth doesn't have you. And remember, your life doesn't consist of the stuff that you have. Your life consists out of your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen? All right. So as we give this morning, we are going to believe for a return on what we're giving, because the scripture says we should do so. Jesus said, "Give and it will be given back to you. Give and you shall receive." Jesus said it, so it has to happen. Yes. Amen. Yes, that's right. Jesus said, "Give and you will receive." So it has to happen. There's no way it can't happen. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
Listen up. Listen, focus. Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given to you." So it has to happen. It has to happen because Jesus said it. Jesus said it's going to happen.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
He said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I believe Jesus. But you know what? I'm not going to get greedy and covetousness over that whole stuff. But I'm going to thank him for it coming back to me, because I know I can give again. And I'm going to give with the right attitude. And I'm going to continue to walk in that relationship with him. I'm not going to let stuff get between me and him. But I'm certainly going to believe what he said. All right, are you with me?
Yes.
All right. Lord, as we give our tithes and our offerings this morning, we do it joyfully. We do it with a heart of faith. Lord, we know that you are the supplier and that you have given us all things, and that when we give today, we can believe for and receive a return like you said it would happen. We believe what you said will happen. And so as we put our seed into the offering today, we're expecting a harvest. And I thank you, Lord, that we diligently protect our heart, that we do not step over the line and become greedy. We always, always remain generous, not greedy. Bless them, Lord. Bless them for giving in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So he retired with his wife and sitting on the veranda one day decided, this is not for me. I have got a lot of energy and ministry left. I'm going to go out to the ends of the world. I'm going to go and encourage the little pastors who have nobody else to encourage them. And he and his wife started a ministry and began to travel to the ends of the world. And we began to support him, the Promised Church, just $100 a month, just supporting him, and then gave a little more. And when he was in, had some needs, we helped him with that as well. So this is a trip that he's just sent back. This is his latest newsletter from Ecuador. So he said, we drove for hours until the road ended. Then I walked through jungle till I was exhausted. My heart was pounding. I was sweating profusely. Somewhere along this trail, I'd been encouraged by the Holy Spirit that I was in the center of his will. Now, only when you've been to the Philippines can you really appreciate what he's saying. In the middle of this jungle, sweating, no road, out there with a stick and a guide, the Holy Spirit has to say, it's cool. This is it. You're in my will. And we say, really? I thought there'd be at least air conditioning on this road. And it makes no difference that it seems 100 years behind us or that I'm about to experience monkey meat for the first time. I thought the Filipino food was bad. Monkey meat? I don't know. So he said, we had the honor of introducing them to the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and he helped conduct the first water baptism in this village, inaugurated the first and only Bible school to the Shar Indian people. We saw repentance for the involvement of witch doctors. We saw their lives changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We were able to see the joy of the Lord in their face. We shouted for joy. They immersed in baptism and water, and they were able to put the Gluckom audio Bibles in 7 of the churches for those who did not or could not read or write. Look at the pictures. That's him on the left. Plane dropped him off and they started heading through the jungle. Oh, this is just where he's coming out the jungle. This is where he's praying for those on the riverside to get baptized. Well, you better know that you're protected before you get into those waters to baptize somebody. Wow. Yeah? Those waters are full of parasites. Yeah. I mean, just our seawater down here on Oceanside, you could get sick and die. I know of people that have. But there you better believe and use your faith. And there's the muddy trail. All right, let's go to the last part of these things. Thank you, Don. He said, lives were changed, the kingdom was advanced, the Holy Spirit was released, and they became new creatures in Christ. They were hungry, we fed them the word. They were thirsty, we gave them drink of the Spirit. They were naked, we clothed them. We gave them glasses where they could not see and began the process of discipling them and to reach the other villages around and about them. Words cannot describe the experience of this trip because your love, Promise Church, your love and obedience to support our ministry. It is only by your gifts that we continue to go. Partner with us, and may God richly bless you for your faithfulness. Let's give him a good hand. Come on. God bless him. God bless him and his wife for what he's doing. Now, thank you so much for that, Don. Reading that, would you say that you could identify his passion? Would it be difficult to identify what his values are? Yes. You could tell exactly what his values are and what his passions are. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk with you a little bit about deciding for ourselves what is our passion and what are our values. What is important to us? So we're going to ask a couple of questions this morning. If you did bring something to write with, write it down. If you didn't, answer it in your head. What is your passion? What is your passion? What is it that gets you up in the morning, other than the dog or the rooster or your wife saying it's time to go to work? What is it that helps you get up in the morning? What is it that you live for? What is that keeps you joyful? I'm going to ask you a second question. What is your spiritual passion? Huh? Are they different? Are they the same thing? You may have said that your passion was your family the first time around. And your spiritual passion, you may have said prayer. You may have said souls. You may have said being obedient to Jesus. You may have said worship. I don't know. You may have just said being a disciple of Jesus. It's possible for them to be the same, both your spiritual passion and your natural passion. So the next question is, what produces your passion? Where does it come from? Is it just the DNA that you have? You're born with this thing and it overtakes you and that there's nothing you can do about it? You know, as Lady Gaga said, I was born this way. Is that the case? Well, because she's crazy. Yeah? She used to sing in church, by the way, just in case you know. So did Britney Spears. There's a number of them who used to sing in church. Yeah. Carrie Underwood? Carrie Perry? Yeah. All right. So, your values actually determine your passion. Your values determine your passion. Now, the question that we want to ask is, your value, well, let me make this statement for you. Your values are what you believe are the most important issues in life. So let's clarify this for you so that you know what we're talking about. Your values are what you believe are the most important issues in life. So for Corbin, it's football. There's no doubt about it. Most important thing in life. Eats, sleeps, dreams, plays, everything. Football, football, football. Maybe not. But what is that thing that you believe is the most important issue? Now, not only am I going to try and help us individually today, I also want to try and help us corporately as a church, as the Promised Church. During this week, we had a pastoral meeting with Paul and Kathy, Jackie and myself, Hayne being in town, came and joined us for a little bit. And we were discussing what is the passion of the promise? What are the values of the promise? And whether we had a clear goal, clear vision. And it was very interesting as we were bantering around these things that we need to really establish what is our DNA and what is our goal and what is our vision so we can all get on board, or at least those who want to get on board. Okay? It's important that we do that. So in sharing this with you today, we can also apply what I'm saying to us corporately. And I would appreciate if you would. If you would think about it as we're going and saying, well, this is what I think about the church, what the values of the church, or what the values of the church I would like to belong to are. Some people think they've joined churches because there's so much love in the church. People just care for one another, all right? They might not have the same level of revelation that you have in the Word, but what they have, they do, and it might be as simple as just loving one another. And that's okay, and they draw huge crowds just because based on that. And oh, by the way, I do want to thank those who came out to pray this morning, as we said last week, as an act of showing that we love the brothers and the sisters, that we would do something even if it was just to come and pray for a few minutes. So thank you for those who came to pray. Our prayer meeting is at 9:30 in the morning right through that ministry door there. All right, so we can figure this out both for the church and also for yourself. So, but right now, let's focus on us individually. I want to make it personal, okay? For you to get the maximum benefit out of this, let's make it personal. Why? Because you see your values control and affect everything in your life. Nothing happens in your life under your decision, that is. I mean, things happen from the outside you have no control over. But things that you have control over that you decide to do, do you know that they're all affected by your values and by your passion? Your decisions that you make, the direction you go, the actions, reactions, all controlled. Okay? So, and you know what they're controlled by? What you deem to be important or what you do deem to be unimportant. How many of you spend your life doing only unimportant things? Now, as adults, we look at our teenagers and we say, huh, all you do is unimportant, right? That's what we think about it. Why don't you become adults and mature. Oh, I see Tenny back there. Back, welcome back from New York, girl. You got a New York cut there, so smooth, sitting next to your dad. Very nice. Good to have you back. New York stinks, doesn't it? Yeah. The rat-infested tax hole. Good to have you back. All right, listen. What my values affect? Three things. My stress, my success, and my salvation. My stress, because unclear values mean confusion. If your values are not clear, it will bring confusion. Conflicting values brings a dilemma. Let me give you an example. I love to play golf, so whenever I can, I get out and play golf. It's something that I really enjoy doing. It's a passion. But I also love my family, and I know that I need to spend time with my family. So one day a week, when I take off, I have someone coming to take care of Jackie so that I can play guilt-free golf. Yes. Because if you're playing guilt-ridden golf, you always play badly. And your mind is always back on the other. So we have two passions that could easily conflict and put me into a dilemma. Give you another one. You love the Lord and you want to come to church on Sunday, but you need to earn money. You have a job and you got to work on Sunday. Now you have a dilemma. You follow what I'm saying? So conflicting values or passions can cause a dilemma. Now that's just a simple one, but whatever's going on in your life, you know what I'm talking about. So it affects my stress. It affects my success. See, lasting success can only come from lasting values. Now, if you have the wrong values, they will cause wrong decisions. Wrong decisions will always hurt you. And that those decisions will produce pain and frustration. And they're coming from the fact that you have wrong values. So wrong values always ends up in pain. There's no other way. Now, Jesus said this in Mark 8:36. What will you gain if you own the whole world but destroy yourself? And that is out of the Contemporary English Version. If you own the whole world and destroy yourself, what will you gain? So what is he saying here? He's saying that my values will affect my salvation. Because literally, he is saying this. It is possible to be outwardly successful, but to be inwardly bankrupt. So you could own the whole world, but inwardly be bankrupt. And this is what I see, you know, Corbin, what I see very often in these professional athletes. I see them having like the whole world at their feet. Plenty of money, lots of booze and women and all kinds of stuff going on. And the funny thing is this, if they don't have the character and they're not rooted and grounded with a solid foundation with good values, they end up doing stupid stuff like shooting themselves, literally, in the leg with a gun. At a strip club. I mean, seriously, and going to jail for shooting yourself. It's something if somebody else shoots you. But how dumb can you be and still breathe? You shoot yourself with a gun, your own gun, that you're not supposed to have on you anyway. I mean, and that's just some of the things. A lot of times they will party all night and overturn their vans and then they get fired from their jobs and it's millions and millions of dollars. And it seems like they don't care about it. But there's this confusion where they seem to have the whole world at their feet. The same thing happens in Hollywood all the time, doesn't it? In the entertainment industry. You see these crazy people. It seems like the more crazy you are, the more they pay you. And that's just one of the marks of being successful in Hollywood is you have to be crazy. The first thing on your resume, you must be crazy. Okay? That is outwardly successful, but inwardly, spiritually bankrupt. So your values do affect your salvation. It's obvious. We can see that. Listen to Paul's value, the Apostle Paul. Listen as he says in Philippians 1:20, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And also in Acts 21, and this is not on your notes, remember when he was on his way to Jerusalem and the prophets stopped by and said, "This is what they're going to do to you. They're going to beat you up. They're going to tie you up. They're going to really knock the snot out of you. I don't suggest you go." And he turned around and he said, what are you talking about, man? I'm not only ready to be bound up, but I'm also ready, he says, to die at Jerusalem for the name or for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. Can you see his passion? You see what his values are? He didn't count his life to be of any value. He laid his life down just like Jesus did. He said, the people are much more valuable. The passion that I have for souls and for the value that I put on people. I don't care if they beat me up. I don't care if they tie me up. I don't care if they even kill me. It didn't matter to him. It was a sacrifice he was worth making. And then in Corinthians, he said this, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I became all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake. So, I mean, he became a chameleon, really. He did whatever was necessary. Gave up comfort, didn't matter, slept in the rain, was beaten up, shipwrecked, didn't matter. Whatever it took. And I think, seriously, this is what most people do when their passion and their values come together. They will make any sacrifice for that to come to pass. Think about it. I mean, think about the stars, the, you know, Hollywood people. Think about some of the people that you know. They will lay down everything. Okay? That's what Percy Sledge said. A man, when he loves a woman, will do. If you don't know who Percy Sledge is, don't worry. Before your time. My values and my passion are directing my life to my ultimate destiny. They're the engines that are driving it. I'm heading in a certain way. It's like being in a speedboat, and I have an engine that's fired up, and I have a rudder that's set. And the steering wheel doesn't matter because this thing is heading a certain direction, and it's my passions and my values that are driving it. So it is imperative for us. It is absolutely imperative. Say it's imperative. Imperative. It's imperative. To evaluate my values. Say that. I need to evaluate my values. And perceive my passion. Perceive my passion. You have to know what your passions are, and you have to evaluate your values. Because if you don't know what is the engine driving you, you could be heading for the rocks and you don't know it. You think everything is cool because you're enjoying your values and your passion, and you don't realize that it's heading you in the wrong direction. So, this morning, please, let's do an evaluation, all right? Let's do an evaluation. Let's make sure that we've got good values and that it's driving us to have good passions and that we're going to be, at the end of the day, welcome to heaven because our passions and our values are driving us straight to the kingdom door, right? So the first thing we've got to do is we have to determine the source of our values. What is the source of our values? Now, what I'm asking you is, where did they come from? What is the source of our values? If you haven't yet purchased this book, Yes, You Can, Achieve Your Dreams. I believe it's on page, I think it's chapter 10. Chapter 10, I deal with core values that determine behavior. And if you haven't picked up one of these books yet, by me, then I suggest you do, all right? Because it will help you. It's a book designed especially so success can come from the inside out, not from the outside in. And it will be long-lasting success. And one of the things that I deal with are core values. So just to touch on that this morning, the source of my values determine their quality. The source of my values determine their quality. So did your values come from your parents? Did they come from friends, peers? The internet, books, radio, TV, your education. I feel sorry for people who are in college these days and what they have to put up with. I can't believe it when I hear what they get taught. Boy, that sure is affecting their values. Are our values determined from our society? Where do we get them from? Just population in general. And, you know, today, social media is playing a huge part in determining and influencing us. And one of the major influences, of course, is Hollywood, entertainment industry, the radio, the talk shows, all of those things, the movies, the TV. I am amazed. I'm absolutely amazed at what I see. We try and pick the PG thing to watch. But even PG is allowed three curse words and a couple of little parts of bare bodies and stuff like that for children and innuendos. And it can all be in verbiage and in the speech. And the thing is this, it's all in current lingo. And believe it or not, some of it's I didn't catch because it's actually aimed at the teenagers and the 10-year-olds and 12 or 13-year-olds is the way that they speak. So they hear and they understand exactly what's being said. And that's in PG. And I tell you, it's crazy. I mean, I cannot watch an R-rated. Cannot watch it. It's impossible. I want to get sick. I want to vomit when I watch it. It affects me that way. It may not affect you that way, but it does me. And so I have to be so careful what I watch. And then we'll be watching a show, and it's just like it's a TV series, and it's so PG. And then suddenly, here's a gay couple in the show. For what purpose is this? You know? And then it's just like, this is crazy. And now I saw this week that they're putting gay hero characters into Marvel comics and stuff like that. And they're going to get married, you know? So I'm thinking, what is going on here? So you see, society is being affected and influenced, you know, all the way down by what's in there. So it's very important as to where our values are coming from. So I want to ask you this question. Would you say, when we say, what would you say? What would you say is providing the primary source of your values? The world or the word? As believers, I honestly believe that we should be getting our values from Christ, not our culture. I don't know if you know this, but there is a Western culture, and then there's a California culture, and then there's a Southern Cal culture. And everywhere you go, there's a different culture. And I mean, it is rock solid. You can't move it. The social culture that we're living in is rock solid. You're either in it or you're out of it. And are we allowing our children to draw their values from Southern Cal culture or from our mom and dad at home and the way that we live and the values that we hold dear? What are we doing? And remember this. We have children's church for 1 hour, 1.5 hour a week. But their kids are at school like 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 40 hours. We don't have a hope in Hades of competing with that in 1 hour. We have the same problem with the youth, the young adults in Nexus. They're in the world. They're getting bombed with it. Their friends, social media, everything is bombing them. And then we expect on a Friday night in an hour and a half to convert them and to renew their minds and for them to live in a kingdom culture. Guys, we have got a responsibility as parents and as adults to choose the right values, to live them in front of our children, and to help them choose the right values. Thank you for all those screaming amens. I'm overwhelmed. Can I have an amen? Yeah. All right. So, in 1 John 2:15, Living Bible says this, don't love the world's ways, the lust for physical pleasure, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to you, and the pride that comes from wealth and importance. These are not from God, but from the world. See, the world's values are clear. They're easy to see and easy to distinguish, especially if we're outside of the world because we've been born again and the lights have come on. And now we can look back and say, wow, is that what I really did? Is that the way I was? How come I didn't see that? Because we were kind of lost in darkness and we didn't see it. But I can put them down. I think I could summarize it in three things. I could say the values of the world are pleasure, possessions, and prestige. Yeah. Or, if you want another three rhyming words to remember, fun, fortune, and fame. That's it. See, which is the biggest industry right now in the world? Biggest industry. Entertainment industry. Entertainment industry. They get paid the most. I can't even imagine what Simon Cowell gets paid. But I know that which is the Simon that they offered him $70 million for Idol and turned it down? Was that Simon Cowell? Yeah. $70 million for 1 year to judge those singers. And he turned it down. Wow. I mean, people earn $400-500 million in a year. Seriously. Doing what? It's crazy, okay? But the entertainment industry is that strong because you know what? The world wants to feel good. If you're feeling bad, watch a show. Or go shopping. Yay. And what's the saying about shopping doesn't fix you up or whatever? Shopping doesn't solve your problems or whatever it is? Yeah. Well, Cindy says, the person who says that doesn't know where to shop. But, you know, it's all about feeling good, right? And that's why when we go to church and the preacher preaches up a message and brings in a conviction, you say, I'm never going back there. Come on. That's so against my culture. I got to feel good when I go to church, right? But how many of you know change is painful?
Yes.
Change is painful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you try and lose weight and see how painful it is. Yeah? Yeah? That's painful. Try to work out at the gym or start running, exercise. Do something like that. See how painful that is. Yeah? It is painful. So change is painful. So we can't always feel good. You see, when the world says possessions and fortune are what's important, what they're actually saying is this. My self-worth is measured by my net worth. Thank God when we lost everything through, you know, bad investments and different stuff like that, and our net worth went to zero, it didn't affect our self-worth because our self-worth is in Christ. I am who I am in Christ, and I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And since my God is my source and He will supply all my needs, I am not dependent on my net worth to determine what my self-worth is. But the world is different. It's all about their money. It's all about their possessions. And prestige and fame, well, that's all about power. That's all about an image and being popular. And if you're not popular, you commit suicide. When you're done, you're wasted. Where your life is worth nothing because you've been rejected by, you know, your peers and stuff like that. That's the end of it. Well, no, it isn't. For a Christian, we're not dependent upon fame. We're not dependent upon popularity. We're not dependent upon the power that the world gives us. In Romans 12 and 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. Don't copy that. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. There's no success in that. There's no future in that. That's not the way to go, especially if you're a believer. We should be following Jesus' example and learning from Him and following Him because, obviously, He is the most successful person ever. The Message Bible says on the same verse, don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. We have got a challenge on our hands, a massive challenge, as to what are we going to do with the Southern Cal culture? All right? How are we going to cope with that? How are we going to engage this culture? How are we going to win them to Christ? How are we going to affect them? Because, you know, part of our Southern Cal culture is it's a wealth-based culture. It's materialism. It's selfish and it's materialism. And so what they do is they work and work and work and work and add more to it and more to it. And then they get into debt by getting a better car, better home, better neighborhood, right? Better clothes. Then they work harder because they're in debt. Then they work more because they're in debt. Then they get a better car. Then they get a better house. Then they take a vacation. Then they buy something. And when you look back, you're working to pay your taxes. You're working to pay your debt. And then the time comes, you say, well, now what about church? You say, well, I don't know. I'm too busy. Can't do it. So we must be very careful of the culture that we're living in because we can be sucked into it. We can be sucked into it. And as Christians, Satan is watching you. Here's my next sermon. He's watching you. On an 8mm, he's watching you. He's watching for your weaknesses. He's watching when he sends a temptation your way, whether you overcome it or succumb to it. If you succumb to it, he will send you another one of the same kind and see if he can get you the same way. And if he does, he will develop a pattern and he will know where you... He doesn't quit. He keeps trying different medicines on you. You know what I'm saying? He tries different tricks and different strategies. And when he finds one that works, the devil's not smart, but he's not stupid either. He's not smart because he doesn't realize that Jesus defeated him. And the end is the lake of fire. But he's not stupid either, because he's trying to get a hold of us and bring us into his web of control. And what he does is he keeps on bringing the same old temptation that you get sucked into, because he knows it works. He's done it on you and he watches. So don't let the devil find out. Hide it from him. See, most of us are hiding our weaknesses from God. We don't want God to know. I'm telling you, it's more important you don't let the devil know. Because God will forgive you, but the devil will use it against you. Hello. I'm preaching so much better than you saying amen this morning. I know you're just sitting there absorbing it. You're just spellbound. It's like, what? This guy's awesome. I can't believe this word I'm hearing. It's straight from heaven. Wah! I know. Shh. I know. If you buy into the world value system, you will miss God's purpose for your life. It's that powerful. Okay? So, the world system again. Remember, pleasure, possessions, and prestige. Or fun, fortune, and fame. Watch out for those big traps. You buy into that, you will miss God's purpose for your life. I'm going to make a statement here, and it's so important that you catch it. Because the values that you have are the engines that drive you towards them. Let me explain. If your value or your passion is winning the lost, winning souls, then your values and your passion will press you towards winning the lost. Whatever it takes. You'll go knocking on the door. You'll hand out flyers. You'll pray more. You'll attend. You'll invite your neighbor. You'll do all kinds of stuff. It's because your value is the thing that's pulsing in you, that passion to win it, to win that person. Okay? But if you had a sinful passion, that sinful passion will also be the engine that drives you to fulfill it. You get it? So it's incredibly important, because it's like being caught in a river and trying to swim up against the flow. Your passion and your value is a God thing to help you achieve His destiny without trying. Because your value and your passion is an engine that will drive you towards that value and passion. And it doesn't take any effort, because you enjoy doing it. Anything that you enjoy doing is no effort. Hello. Okay? See, when I went to school, I was one of those crazy geeks. When I had to do 2 math sums for homework, I did 4. You know how my parents used to punish me? God's my witness. You are not going to do your homework today. And I would go to my room and cry. God's my witness. I know. But my passion and my value, I love being a nerd. I just like, yay, more, give me more. I wanted to do my homework. And I always did more than was required. I just loved it. And they would say to me, put the light off, you're going to sleep. Oh, I want to do some more. Today, you would say, take the remote from him, hide his phone, all the nice stuff. Do your homework is such punishment. Get to your room. Do your homework. Ah! And it was the opposite for me. You see, that's what I'm saying to you. Whatever your passion is, whatever your passion is, you enjoy doing. Right? If your passion is music, you love doing it. But how many of you today would say, I've got to go and do my piano lessons. And say, yay, I got to do my piano lessons. Yay, I got to do my piano lessons. Well, see, there's only one person here that's driven by that. Okay? The rest of us are going, no, don't think so. What about your violin? Got to do your violin lessons. But if you enjoy it and you want to be a songwriter and this is the whole thing that moves you, I mean, you stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning writing music and doing stuff like that. Is that true? So that's why I'm saying to you why it's so important that you understand and do an evaluation of your values and perceive what your passions are. You'll spend your life's energy and your time seeking more of what you think is valuable. That's what you naturally do. You'll spend your time and your energy seeking more. If you think preaching the gospel is valuable, not only will you read your Bible, but you'll also get books to read about the gospel and about other people that did stuff. And you'll get teaching material and you'll be reading all that stuff. And then you meet an unsaved friend. What have you been doing? Oh, I've been reading all these books about the Bible. And God goes, are you kidding me? Are you serious? You did what Friday night? Yeah, man, I was reading this in the Bible and I read the whole book of Proverbs and stuff. Well, you're sick, you need help. Is that right? They cannot conceive that you could possibly get any joy out of reading the Bible or stuff about the Bible. And that's why it bothers me when I find that Christians don't read the Bible or don't pray, don't talk to God. What? How could that be? You don't enjoy talking to him? Whoa. You don't enjoy reading his book? And I'm like, ooh, I'm staggered. Okay? Of course, I wouldn't say anything to you guys, but other people make me freak. It's critically important that in laying the foundation on which you will build your whole life, that you choose the right source and determine your values. You have two choices. You either go the Word or the world, or you're going to choose your local culture or Christ. That's it. There's no others. See, the world or the Word, which is giving you your culture, which is giving you your values, or you're going Christ or the culture. Which is influencing you most? Okay, so to evaluate my values and to perceive my passion, number one, I said, determine the source of your values. Number two, decide what's important. And I only have 2 points, so don't panic. I only have 2 points. Number one, determine the source, and then decide what's important. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, we love this verse from the Message Bible. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I place before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your children will live. And love God, your God, listening obediently to him, firmly embracing him. Oh, yes, he is life itself. Now, I want to change something just a little bit because, there was no punctuation in the original Greek, original Hebrew. There was no punctuations. There were also no verse references. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove the full stop after the word live and delete number 20, verse 20. And I'm going to read it to you like this. Choose life so that you and your children will live and love God, your God, listening obediently to him, firmly embracing him. Oh, yes, he is life itself. So your children depend on your choice. You see that? And I believe that's correct. So many times I get asked this question. I can't even tell you how many times I've been asked this question. Pastor Henry, what about the little children that got raised by that drug addict, by that witchcraft person, by that person that is just like terrible, terrible, abusive, this and that. What about that child? What about that child? What about their life? Can you blame them for turning out the way that they did? No, but I can blame their parents. Well, that's, where's that? I said, it's right here. Look here. Your children are a product of you. Whatever you are, they will become. My brother, Theo, myself, my sister Ingrid, we're all Christians today because of my grandmother. My grandmother was a praying saint. She didn't have even the revelation of salvation. When we tried to lead her to Christ, she thought we were blaspheming. We asked her to pray the salvation prayer. She was in her 70s. And then we said, now confess that you're saved. Confess Jesus is your Savior. Now say, I'm saved. She said to me, you're blaspheming. You can't say that. Only God knows. Because that was the doctrine she was raised in. Even though she prayed the salvation prayer, she couldn't do that. But that dear woman prayed every single day for us. And we all came in, got saved, and then it worked backwards. We got our parents saved. Jackie got my mom spirit-filled. Her mom came to stay with us, had emphysema, rejected Christ completely, got saved, baptized in water, filled with the Holy Ghost, and healed from emphysema in one night. Down in the water and up, completely healed. She smoked 40 cigarettes a day, had emphysema for 30 years, could not breathe. She'd hang out the window, go out of the window at night, and then smoke at the same time. And she was instantly healed. Saved, spirit-filled, baptized in water, and instantly healed with new lungs, and she slept 12 hours. My dad has now got saved and got spirit-filled. So it went around us and came back up through us. Don't tell me. I'm telling you that your kids depend upon you. You got to live the life for them. You got to pray for them. It's so important, okay? Critically important. People in your family, don't let them go. Keep praying for them. Keep them before the throne of God. Don't let go. Don't let go, because the Bible promised you and your family, all right? So don't let go. Keep on keeping on for them. But yeah, I obviously my heart goes out to those kids. It does. And we do our best to try and reach out if we can. If we can get around the parents and get to them, we try. We do our best. And every one of us should. And they're not doomed. They're not done. They're not cursed and thrown away and rejected. Don't ever think that. Okay? God has a way to get the gospel to them. But they'll go through hell on earth first. Okay? Yeah, unfortunately, they will have to go through that. So, do you realize that most of the values that you have, you didn't choose? Probably what happened is that you just assimilated them into your life. I tell you what, depending on where you were born will affect your values. If you're born in America, your values would be different if you're born in L.A., East L.A., or if you're born in New York, or you're born in Oklahoma or Texas. You'll have different values. Isn't that true? That's just in America. So in America, it depends on where you're born. But what happens if you're born in another nation? What happens if you're born in Africa? You'd have different values. And you know what? Depending on what nation you're born in and what color your skin is, you have different values. But there's only one value, one thing that we can all use the same foundation. That's the scripture. That's Christ. Irrespective of where we're born and what the color of our skin is, we can all have the same values based on Christ. Amen. So that solves that. But we get them assimilated. We just actually pick them up. And oftentimes, as I've said, you pick it up from other people. You pick it up from your parents. Somebody influences you at school, at college. They influence you in some way. Now, some of them are good. Some of these values and passions are good. I'm not saying they're all bad. Okay? For example, if you were raised in a Mormon family, you'd have excellent values concerning family. You'd be a great tither, and you would love God. Okay? Your doctrine might be a little screwy, a little off the wall. But otherwise, every Mormon that I know, I could have them as a friend in a heartbeat. They are of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. Okay? So just because you pick it up. You understand what I'm saying? Where you're born, what influence, what church, what religion, it all. Now, some of these values are hurting us. Not all are good, not all are bad. But all of them have been assimilated because we grew up and we saw that. That seems to be okay. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody's doing it. Therefore, it must be okay. And then we rationalize it. And we accept that that's being okay. But it may not be. We have to use a standard. We have to use Christ as the standard. Or we have to, use the word as the standard. So what I want to ask you to do, I want you to get, and I'm finishing with this, I want you to get a time perspective of your life. A time perspective. I want you to, raise yourself up and see your life fully expanded before you, out like this. And I want to ask you, look 10 years down the road, 10 years from now, 20 years. Some of us won't be around. Or all the way to the time when you're standing in front of the judgment seat. What about eternity? So we go 10 years, 20 years, judgment seat, eternity. Get a long-term view. And then ask yourself this question. What is going to last? How much of what I'm doing right now is going to last all the way to eternity? Is going to have value in eternity? Or 20 years from now? And perhaps, I'm making a suggestion, perhaps, things that don't matter for eternity shouldn't get your time. When you put perspective, you put your life in perspective, you come all the way back to where you are today. And if you want your life to count and you want your values to be good fundamental values, if it's not going to count in the long time, in the long term, perhaps you shouldn't do it. Father, I pray that everybody who heard this word today heard it. I pray that they actually have ears to hear. And that through your Holy Spirit, you captivated our hearts and minds. And you transferred to us a perspective and a true value of what's in your heart to help us achieve the destiny that you have for us. And not the destiny that our enemy has for us. That we're able to see the traps that have been set before us to ensnare us. And we're able to see clearly the traps of the culture in which we live, that our society has presented to us. Give us the courage to choose Christ above the culture. Give us the courage to make the right decision, that our life will count and that our children will know God and know Christ, because the life that we have led and the demonstration of the truth that we live on a daily basis. Help each and every one of us, Lord, to make the difficult choices and decisions that we have to make. Lead us by your Spirit every single day, every moment. I pray that we would be alert, like an alarm going off. We'd be alerted when the values of the world are brought to us to accept, whether it's fun, fortune, fame, whether it's the prestige or the power, or the pleasure. Help us to spot it. Help us to reject it. Help us to turn away from it. Help us to choose your way. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you get something out of that? Good for you. Praise the Lord. All right, I mean, we do have some of those books. I don't know if somebody could, Paul, could you do me a favor? Could you get maybe 5 of the Righteous Riches and 5 of the books out of the storeroom? And we'll have them at the back for sale. If somebody would man the table. I don't know, Kathy's sitting at the back there. If you just man the table for me, I'd appreciate it.